Well, this morning, I feel very blessed by the Lord because I just want to talk about one of my very favorite things I like to talk about. The Lord's put it in my heart this morning, and I feel a liberty to talk about it. And so we're going to talk about it. So what are we going to talk about? We are going to talk about the most powerful place in the earth. The most powerful place in the earth. Amen. Where is it and what is it? Well, we'll look at it. Amen. Go with me in your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just help me, God. Lord, with this word this morning, Lord, you've put something in my heart. Very simple truth. But Lord, I know it's a truth that has made a huge impact in my life, God. And I just pray that, Lord, my brothers and sisters would be able to hear your heart and the simplicity of this, God. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a people, Lord, that would truly leave a mark for Christ in this generation. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me just begin by asking a question. And the question is, what is the most powerful place in all the earth? Well, there's a few answers that we can give. And I'm sure they would all be right. But in this message, here is the answer. The most powerful place in all the earth is the secret place where God calls a vessel that he has prepared. You know, it's the secret place where God comes to a heart in secret and begins to reveal his call and his plan for that heart that he has been preparing. You know, there's many examples in the Bible where God met somebody in the secret place and began to lead them from that secret place. And when you look at the biblical examples, the list is actually endless. We have Moses, Mary, David, Elijah, Isaac, Hannah, Samuel, Jeremiah, Daniel, John the son of Zechariah. You know, it was in the secret place alone with God where God spoke to them and called them into his purposes. And at that moment, that secret place became the most powerful place on the earth because it became the launching pad where God was about to do something dynamic in the earth. It became the launching pad where God was about to do something in the earth that only God could do. Amen. Listen, Moses is a good example. In Exodus chapter 3, when God met Moses in the desert at a little burning bush, at that moment, that little patch of ground became the most powerful place in all the earth. The most powerful place in the earth wasn't Egypt. The most powerful place in the earth wasn't Pharaoh's court. The most powerful place in the earth wasn't Pharaoh's mighty garrisons and chariot houses and stables. It was at a burning bush on the backside of the desert where it was just Moses standing in the secrecy of God's presence. That became the most powerful place in the earth. You know, Mary is another example. Mary was born and raised in a Roman world. The Roman Empire, such a picture of power, such a picture of invincibility, such a picture of prestige and grandeur. such a picture of tyranny. And with its iron fist, at any moment it was ready to crush any symptom of discontentment and defiance. In the eyes of the world, Caesar's palace was the most powerful place in the earth. In the eyes of the world, Caesar's parliament was the most powerful place in the earth. But what the world couldn't see was that moment when heaven opened over a little peasant girl's dwelling place, and God crowned a virtuous girl with the honor of bringing the Messiah into the world. And it was at that moment Mary's little dwelling place became the most powerful place in all the earth. Amen. So just looking at Moses and Mary, may I add this? In our world today, the most powerful place in all the earth isn't the White House. It isn't the United Nations. It isn't the European Union. It's that secret place where God places his calling upon a life that he has prepared. The most powerful place in all the earth may be a little bedroom someone has set aside to seek the Lord. The most powerful place in all the earth may be that park bench where someone likes to steal away at lunchtime and read their Bible. The most powerful place in all the earth may be a little chapel where a seminary student has his morning devotions. It's any place where God secretly meets with someone and begins to unveil his calling in their life. That's the most powerful place in all the earth. And beloved, let me just add this quickly. Listen, not everyone's called to public ministry. You know, there may be some that are called to be a stay-at-home mom and raise their children up in the ways of the Lord. There may be others who are called to cut grass at the church. But my point is simply this. When you have a secret place with God, your life will make an impact. Your life will speak. Your life will make an impact. And that impact will be an eternal impact. Beloved, listen. This world with all of its governments, with all of its world seats, one day it's all going to pass away. But the impact you have made for Christ will have everlasting value. The secret place with God where he makes you and he shapes you, that is the most powerful place in all the earth. Amen. So by now, someone's probably asking, well, Pastor Tim, what is this message all about? Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, it is about having a secret place with God. That's what it's about. I heard two amen. Can I get a whole house full of amens? Amen. Amen. Listen, you know, all these biblical people I mentioned, before they ever impacted their generation for God, they had a secret place with God. And this secret place wasn't about trying to find out what their calling was. It was simply about just loving God and having a desire to meet with God. That's what the secret place was about. And yet, it was in this secret place that God prepared them to impact their generation with the call of God that's on their life. You know, going all the way back to the father, to faith, when God called Abram to walk with him, when God called Abram to journey with him, the Bible says Abram pitched his tent in Hai and there built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, Abram had a secret place and a private altar where he went and worshiped God and met with God and talked with God. I think about Moses. For many years, Moses walked with God in the isolation of the Midian wilderness. That's where he met God. And listen, I don't know how God came to Moses in those private times and revealed himself to Moses. I don't know how God did that. But I do know 40 years later when Moses left Midian to go to Egypt, God said, this is a man who speaks with me face to face as a man speaks with his friend. You know, there's Anna whose secret place was the temple where she served the Lord with prayer and fasting. And one ordinary day in the life of Anna, her eyes were suddenly opened to see the Savior of the world clothed as a tiny little babe. And suddenly she has a message of hope that is more powerful than the suffocating oppression of Rome. I think about David. Before David ever became the giant slayer, he had a secret life on a hilltop, watching sheep and writing intimate love songs to the Lord. Then there's Daniel. Daniel had a secret place with God. The scriptures say that sometime during Daniel's day, he would slip into his room and open his window and kneel down and pray and give thanks. And then came that day in Daniel chapter 9. in the secret place, reading the scriptures, that the spirit of prayer and intercession suddenly fell upon him, and he prayed a prayer that was so earth-shaking, it literally moved kings and kingdoms on behalf of God's people in captivity. And then how can we forget Nathanael? Before he ever saw the Word made flesh, there was a little fig tree that he would sit under and meditate upon the one that was coming, whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. They all had a secret place with God. And beloved, before grace came upon their lives, strengthening them to perform God's purposes in the earth, there was a secret place. There was a hilltop. There was a fig tree. There was an altar where they loved God and ministered to the Lord. And it was in this secret place God called them to make an impact for their generation. In the secret place. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I really want you to hear my heart. Because it's really spoken out of just a humbleness of something God has done in my life. You know, I'm not in any way comparing myself to Daniel or Hannah or Samuel, because to be honest with you, I feel like a little spiritual worm compared to these people. But I do have something I want to share with you, and I really feel like it's because the Lord would have me share it with you. And what I want to share with you is simply this. Listen, my whole life, my whole spiritual life, my whole ministry, my whole calling was shaped in the secret place with the Lord. You know, I remember when I first got saved, almost days after I got saved, my pastor and my pastor's wife began to talk to me about the blessing of having a daily devotional life with God. Just having a time where you get along with God in the secret place, and that's you and God's time together, worshiping the Lord, reading His Word, spending time with God. And they just began to share with me about the blessing of having a secret place with God. And at that time, I was living in a trailer, a little trailer, with my mother and my father. And my tiny little bedroom I could barely squeeze into became my secret place. I'd go into my bedroom and I'd kneel down on the floor and I would lay my Bible on my window ledge. And that would be the place I would be alone with God and worship the Lord, spend time in His Word. And I remember that evening, I came in from work and went into my place of prayer. And listen, I was so tired, I could barely keep my eyes open because I had just spent 10 hours in a furniture plant doing the work. But yet when I came in, there was just something in my heart. I did not want to miss my time with God. And I went into that place and I was praying to the Lord. And there came a knock on the door. And my mother came in and she handed me an envelope, and I opened the envelope, and in the envelope was a little blue slip introducing and announcing a place called Mount Zion School of Ministry. And beloved, when I read it, immediately God spoke to my heart and He said, Tim, that is where I am calling you to. Beloved, listen, it was in the secret place where God began to reveal and lead me in His calling. You know, it seems like just yesterday, I was finishing up my second year here at Summit as a student when Sister Catherine called me into her office, and she was president at that time, and she called me into her office and she said, Tim, I can tell the word that you speak comes out of your private place of prayer with God. And I believe God is calling you to be a teacher here at Summit. And when you come on as a teacher at Summit, I don't want you to change anything. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep going to your prayer place, getting the word from the Lord, and speaking what's in your heart. And you know, I have been doing that for 20 years now. And just like yesterday, I remember the time I was an intern at a place called Isaiah House in New York City. And it was a Sunday morning. I was at Times Square Church. Pastor Day preached a message and I made the altar call. And right in the middle of the altar call, Pastor Dave knelt down in the altar and he whispered in my ear. He said, God will always put his touch upon a praying man. And I believe in this age that we live in, the need of God's heart, the need of the hour is pastors after God's own heart. And I believe God is calling you to be a pastor. Well, you know, I walked away from the altar call because I thought what I would be doing is I'm just going to be an evangelist traveling around the South and preaching what the South calls revival services. That's what I thought I was going to be doing. But 2 weeks later, Sister Catherine called me into her office again and said, we're building a campus church. And we really believe God wants you to come on as pastor. And serve as pastor. And immediately there was an inner witness in my heart. That's what God is doing. And I remember, going through my memory book here, about 3 or 4 years later, after I was teaching and pastoring, I suddenly became very worried, very fearful. Because at that time I was teaching 5-6 classes a week, maybe more. I was teaching a Tuesday night Bible study every Tuesday night, and I was preaching sermons on Sunday. And I became very fearful, and I remember going into my prayer closet and telling the Lord, Lord, listen, where is all this revelation going to come from? You know, I cannot afford to dry up. I have got to have a constant flow of revelation. I've got to have a constant flow of life from your word, God, and where is it going to come from? And it's at that moment the Holy Spirit dropped Jeremiah 33:3 on my heart. And Jeremiah 33:3 simply says this, call upon me and I will show you things that you don't know. And God spoke to my heart very clearly and he said, Tim, if you will live in the secret place, if you'll live in that private, intimate place with me, I'll open my word and I will show you things you've never seen before. And you will never lack bread. You'll never lack something of my heart to share it with my people. Never. And can I say Jeremiah 33:3 has been the very life and strength of my ministry. And beloved, what I'm humbly trying to say is that my whole life and ministry has been shaped in the secret place. And this morning I want to encourage you to have a secret place. To have a fig tree. To have a hilltop. To have a bedroom, to have a park bench, to have a place where you go and meet privately with God, heart to heart and face to face, a place of intimacy, a place of worship, a place of prayer, a place of waiting upon the voice of God, a place of waiting upon the voice of God to speak to the deep places of your life. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you a moment about the secret place. And let me say that it's a place that brings much joy and gladness to God's heart. Listen, God loves the secret place with His people. He loves the secret place with His people. And I want to show you scriptures the Lord put in my heart. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Look with me at verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18 says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. And what he means is, are thy thoughts toward me? O God, how great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. In other words, they're innumerable. And beloved, what David is saying is that the precious thoughts, the wonderful thoughts, the intimate thoughts that God thinks about each one of us is so many, they outnumber the sand on the seashore. In other words, what I'm saying is God has so many things he wants to speak and share with our hearts. And it's his great joy and passion to draw us into that secret place and speak his heart. It's his great joy and passion to draw us into that secret place and reveal his thoughts. Listen, it's His great pleasure to draw us into that secret place and really begin to unveil just how much He loves us. It's His great pleasure to draw us into that secret place and speak something of life from His Word and really cause our hearts to understand, You bring me great pleasures, my people. And beloved, I want to tell you this. Listen, when God builds you up in that secret place, you suddenly become a force the enemy has to reckon with. Amen. Listen, when God builds you up with His precious thoughts in the secret place, it becomes our strength, it becomes our stability, it becomes our spiritual freedom. We become immovable. And we become a force the enemy has to reckon with. Amen. You know, I think about David. David is a perfect example. His whole life, his whole spiritual life was shaped in the secret place. It was in the secret place David grew to love the Word of God. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he delight day and night. It was in the secret place David cultivated a heart of worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. It was in the secret place David developed a prayer life. Give ears to my word, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Hearken unto my voice, for unto You I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto You and will look up to You. Beloved, Summit isn't the only place in the world that believes in a morning devotion with God. David had one too. In the secret place. It was in the secret place that David won his greatest victories. And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Beloved, again, David's life was shaped in the secret place. And then came that day he stepped out of the secret place and into public ministry, and he became a force the enemy had to reckon with. How do I know that? So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And David took Goliath's sword and drew it out of the sheath and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Beloved, it's God's delight and passion to build us up in the secret place. And when you step out of that secret place, you become a force the enemy has to reckon with. Because God shapes you in the secret place. Amen. Well, I think you heard my heart this morning. And I think you heard God's heart this morning. So we don't have to beat a dead horse. So I want to close this message by asking the question again. The title of our message this morning is The Most Powerful Place in All the Earth. And the question is, where is truly the most powerful place in all the earth? Well, I want to go back to our opening text. I want you to go with me back to John chapter 1. Where is truly the most powerful place in all the earth? John chapter 1. Let's start with verse 48. Nathanael said unto Jesus, Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Beloved, looking at our scripture, here is the answer to our question. The most powerful place in all the earth is the seeking heart where God opens heaven. It's that heart that desires God and seeks after God. And God opens heaven over that heart. You see, in this story, What was the secret to Nathanael's open heaven? Well, looking at the life of Nathanael, I think we see the secret here to his open heaven. I think we find it in verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found whom the prophets did write. We found the one of the scriptures, the one whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Beloved, what was the secret to Nathanael's open heaven? Here's the secret. Nathanael was seeking the Messiah of the Word. It was the Messiah that Moses and the law and the prophets did write about that Nathanael was seeking. And one day he was sitting under a fig tree thinking about the one generations and generations had told him would come, and suddenly there he is. And Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus was saying, Nathanael, everything you have been reading about and thinking about, you're now going to see it. It's going to become an open book to you. All the mysteries that have been shut up behind the doors of heaven are going to open to you. All the mysteries hidden in the pages of Moses and the prophets is going to become an increasing revelation in your life. You're going to have eyes to see that all the Word of God and all the revelation of God and all the will of God is in me, and I've come to share it with you. Beloved, this is the most powerful place in all the earth where heaven opens over a seeking heart. That's the most powerful place in all the earth. When you just have a seeking heart. When you love God and you desire God, and that desire for God leads you into a place where you seek Him. In the secret place, the private place, the quiet place, where it's just you and God, heart to heart, that becomes the most powerful place in all the earth. Amen. Stand with me this morning. You know, going into the new year, we're still in January, so I feel like we're still going into the new year. I know when I was getting this word from the Lord, something just came into my heart. I just wanted to reconsecrate my heart to be a man who seeks after God, to be a man who has a quiet place with God. I learned that very early in my walk, and that is one thing I never want to lose with God. I always want to have a quiet place. When I was a student, my quiet place was a tree. You'd find me there every day, sometime during the day, seeking the Lord. Now, because I have two kids, my place is over here, not in the house. It's over here in my office. And that's the place where I close the door, and it's just me and God, heart to heart. And beloved, there's just something in my heart that says, God, going into this new year, I just want to reconsecrate my heart to you to be a man that seeks after God in the secret place. And this morning, that's going to be my altar call. Maybe there are people here and you have a life of seeking God. You have a daily devotional life with the Lord. You have your quiet place. You have your bedroom, your park bench, your fig tree, your altar, your hilltop, whatever you have. That is your place where you meet with God. And maybe this morning you just want to say, God, going into the new year, I'd really like to set my life apart again to be a man, to be a woman that seeks you. And I feel like maybe there are people here and you've lost that place with God. You was a person that sought Him. You were in your Word. You had your times of worship, but somehow you've left that place. Listen, this isn't a word to try to make anyone feel guilty or condemned. I'm just telling you, God's grace is here to pick it up again. To pick up that devotional life again. You have no idea what God does in your life in that secret place. And we don't always feel it. Listen, in those times when I'd have to get up early in the morning and seek the Lord because I have classes at 8:30 and it's just important that I get up early and spend time with God to get my heart ready, I don't always feel like a spiritual man. But yet God is there, and that's enough. He's there to meet. You can't spend time in His presence and God not do something in your life. And maybe there's people here, and if you never cultivated a secret place. So this message just to encourage you, very lovingly, get one. You know, if you just start with just 5-10 minutes a day, pour yourself a cup of coffee and find a place to open your Bible and pray and just share your heart with God. Get one and you'll be surprised at how your time with God grows and the life that will come out of it. And I believe the Lord is saying this morning, simply saying this morning, I'm just looking for a people that will satisfy the thirst of my heart by seeking me. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, He cried out, I thirst. And I know He was talking about a cup of water, but even more than that, He was describing the thirst in God's heart to have communion with His people. God was so thirsty for that communion, He let His Son go to a cross to quench that thirst. And every time you come into His presence, just to sit with Him and be with Him in the secret place, you are a cup of water to His thirsty heart. Because He longs for that. More than anything, He longs for that. And I'm telling you, it is in that secret place where He will shape your life. And you will make an impact in this generation for Jesus. And in the generations to come, if there happens to be another generation after this one, if He doesn't come back. So my altar call is simply this. Lord, I'm setting my heart aside to be that man, to be that woman that seeks after Your heart. Lord, would You teach me what it is to have a secret place with God? And in that secret place, would You open heaven over my heart? And just meet with me face to face, heart to heart. And would You shape my life in that secret place? Beloved, if that's you this morning, if something has spoken to your heart, would you just meet me in the altar? Let's set our hearts and lives aside. And let's just be a people that seek God. Let's just be a people that seek the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to ask my sister if she could just play something softly on the piano. Lord, more than anything else, I just want to be a man who seeks You. More than anything else, I want to be a man who goes into the quiet place and just sits with God. And spend time with God. Lord, the joy of Your heart is to unveil those precious thoughts that are so innumerable. And God, it's in that intimate place. Lord, it's in that intimate place, God. Beloved, let's just take a time to one more time just say to the Lord, I want to seek God. I want to seek You, Lord. Lord, I'm just praying this morning, God, that You would help us, Lord, to be a people that seek after Your heart, God. Lord, You would help us to be that people that have a secret place with You, God. Lord, that hilltop, that fig tree, that altar, that quiet place, You would help us, God. Lord, You would give us grace and strength, Lord. Father, if You've taught me anything about being a man who seeks You, God, it requires a life of discipline. Lord, the flesh doesn't always feel like seeking You. But yet, God, Your grace is sufficient, Lord. And we can walk in Your strength and have a seeking heart in Your strength, God. And Lord, I'm just asking, Lord, that You would just cause us to be. Lord, let us have the heart of David as the deer pants for water. So my heart thirsts for God. Lord, Holy Spirit, be the salt in our soul that makes us thirsty for God. And let that thirst in our heart be that element that brings us to that well. That brings us to that well daily, God. To draw from that well, to draw life from that well, God. And Lord, I'm asking that as we're in that secret place, Lord, you would shape us. God, your grace and your strength and your power and your anointing to shape our lives, it doesn't come out of just always trying to stay busy doing something for God. That's not where it comes from. Lord, life and anointing comes out of that secret place with God. And Lord, help us to run after you, to pursue you. Lord, I like what my sister said this morning in worship. Lord, it is finished. The only thing that's left to do is to pursue God. And help us understand, Lord, we seek you only because you're seeking us first. God, we pursue you only because you're pursuing us first, God. Lord, David said it best. When you say, seek ye my face, my heart will respond back to you. Oh God, your face I will seek. God, it's you taking the initiative in heaven to draw our hearts into that life of seeking God. And Father, I pray, Lord, you would reward every seeking heart here with an open heaven. You would reward every seeking heart with a revelation of those precious thoughts that are innumerable. They outnumber the sand of the sea. And God, as you deposit them in our hearts and make them real in our life, I pray we would leave the secret place built up in the thoughts of God and a force the enemy has to reckon with, God. And I pray out of that secret place, Lord, we would make an eternal impact in our generation for God, Lord. And I thank you for that, God. And Lord, I thank you for pastors that have taught me, God, to be a man that seeks God. Beginning all the way back with Pastor David and Ruth Duncan and the Solid Rock Church, I thank you for that time they sat me down and began to explain to me about the secret place. And I thank you that you brought me to a school where seeking God was at the heart of it. And I thank you, God, for allowing me to be under Pastor Teresa, God. It's incredible the seeking life she has with God. And the life that comes out of it, God. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would always keep me and keep my brothers and sisters under pastors that have a seeking life, a secret place with you, God. Lord, we thank you, God. With all of my heart, we thank you, God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you'll stand, I'll go ahead and close the service in prayer. And if you want to stay in the altar a little longer, please feel free to do so. But let's just ask the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord. God, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for this service. I thank you for meeting us in worship and the Word. And I just pray that you'd be with my brothers and sisters, God, as they leave here. And Lord, just again, let us be that people that seek you, God. Lord, we love you today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do so.